think that's something we need to think of as society and as educators too, because as humans, we're not short of any talent. We just have to think about how we're funneling the talent into the right places.
Welcome to Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I'm your host and chief goddess of the PASS Foundation, Annalise Corbin. We know the current model for education is obsolete. It was designed to create fleets of assembly line workers, not the thinkers and problem solvers needed today. We've seen the innovations that are possible within education, and it's our goal to leave the box behind and reimagine what education can look like in your own backyard. Welcome to today's episode of Learning Unboxed. As always, I'm excited to talk with another great innovator in the transformative education space. And joining us today is Lux Sheer, and I knew I was going to botch that, who also goes by Lucky, is the founder of Youth for STEM Equity. So Lucky, welcome to Learning Unboxed.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're really excited to be able to have a conversation with another great organization that's based right here in our hometown of Columbus. That's always exciting. We talk to people from all over the world, so it's always nice when we get to chat with somebody who's closer to home. But before we get started, let's set some context for our listeners as we get started here. Youth for STEM Equity is a nonprofit organization based, again, in Columbus, Ohio, whose primary objective is to proliferate academic opportunities available to individuals, allowing for increased engagement within the STEM fields by reducing racism and discrimination through enhanced activism and essential education. They believe that it is necessary to foster a collaborative and diverse environment that allows for intentional equity and advancement. Youth for STEM Equity innovated a new STEM learning method called STEMscapes, or STEM escape rooms, which we're going to talk a lot about, as an effective and dynamic solution that combines gamification, active learning, and interpersonal engagement, industry exposure, and real-world context to create an immersive educational experience. And that alone is worth the conversation. So, Lucky, as we get started here, because you are a founder, and I love talking with founders, I always like to ask our founders, one founder to another, what on earth were you thinking? Why did you start this thing? Because founding organizations is really incredibly difficult. And for folks out there that don't really understand the scope and scale of what that means, it's blood, sweat, and tears, right? It's your love, your passion. You put everything into it. It's an epic ordeal, and it has incredible payback often, but it's still a lot. So what were you thinking?
That's a really good question. That's something I ask myself on a daily basis too. But I always had an agenda to want to make a social impact. And like you said, being a founder is a very immense journey, and it requires a lot of patience and believing in the future. Especially if you're a nonprofit, it's a whole lot harder to convince people of the mission and the vision that you're seeing every day. I originally was a student that was growing up in a Title I district within Atlanta, Georgia. And the experiences that I had there, I kind of grew up in the environment thinking that's how the education is. You know, our day-by-day was very different. There were some times when teachers wouldn't show up, there would be a lot of students in the classroom. Other times there would be too few students. It was a little haphazard and different day-to-day with less focus on the education, moreover, STEM. And when I moved and was very privileged to attend schooling in the Dublin City Schools District, my perspective really changed on what is possible. I saw that STEM in particular was a true passion of mine, and how differently it's being reflected across just states in the United States. And I could only imagine how it's being played out across the world. And I went on and did a lot of thinking and, you know, really wanted to start something that tackles the issue we're facing in STEM education, because although we're making progress, we're also making progress in the number of obstacles that arise every day. And it's always, you know, you always have to think of new ways to circumvent these new challenges coming, always to find ways to accelerate. And yeah, that's something that goes on.
You know, you're right. In your own personal journey, I really appreciate how much that personal journey and the opportunity to see one environment here and another environment there and to say, wait a minute, right? You know, every kid should have that great opportunity that you had when you and your family relocated and how meaningful that was as it related to sort of the path that you, I have no doubt, took, right? And I also think, and one of the things that I really appreciate about the organization, you started in the work because you're doing great, great work within the community through that organization, as the fact that you are have such a focus on equity and the issues, because I think folks, we use this equity label a lot, and sometimes we misuse it or misunderstand it, right? And, you know, at the heart and soul, equity is going to mean something very different for lots of different folks. But I would say largely, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that within that sort of STEM space, we see equity is the ability to take advantage of opportunities when they come, right? Because there are a lot of opportunities that are out there, but oftentimes, those opportunities aren't real for students because I can't get there. I've got transportation issues. I live in the wrong zip code. You know, I come from the wrong background. You know, there's a whole host of things that sort of come from this space. And as a collective set of entities, organizations, companies, opportunities, if you will, that are really focused on changing the diversity, dynamic, and equity opportunity around students getting access to the potential of STEM is really, really meaningful. How do you think about that?
Yeah, so education is the most critical sector. The impact education has is an impact like no other. The ability to learn something is what is like the quintessential definition of having human cognition, because, you know, that's the one thing that sets us apart is like the ability to learn and the ability to maintain our learning and grow. Where society is today is because of the learning and the knowledge that we have created and that we use on an everyday basis. And when folks talk about equity, I always like to bring an example of a healthcare setting. Sometimes folks, like you said, is sometimes terms equity and equality is a term people use interchangeably. And the way I like to communicate that to people is within a healthcare example where if a patient is coming in for a blood transfusion, equity would be to give the patient who needs the blood transfusion, and who doesn't need not a blood transfusion. And equality would be to give a blood transfusion to every patient that comes in. And so we have a limited set of resources that is only decreasing by the day, whether that be material resources or time. And it's important to allocate that in a way where we're bringing up the people that have issues going on every single day. And like a lot of you said, that you mentioned, and that's where we really value the fact of equity, because we have a limited resources and a large agenda to change one of the most powerful things humans have.
I agree with you completely, and I appreciate that. So with that in mind, Lucky, let's talk about STEMscapes, because honestly, when I saw this, when this came across my desk, I was like, holy moly, man, this is cool. For starters, right? People will love to engage in this. And that is part of, I think, you know, to sort of get to what you were just talking about, that change, that educational, that transformation, it's hard, hard work. We know that. And having really great programs or opportunities or hooks that get people engaged makes that transformation that much easier, right? So the fact that you've been able to create something that taps into an endeavor that people think they understand, right? They think they know what this whole idea around, you know, an escape room is. And so then how do you then throw STEM in the middle of that and use it as an educational transformation? So help us understand, what do you mean when you say STEM escape room or STEMscapes, right? And then what are you doing with that?
The best way I can describe escape rooms is by talking about the issues that we're aiming to solve with escape rooms. STEM education is very diverse, very multifaceted. And when I, you know, coming back around to the founder story, started Youth for STEM Equity, it was a little bit up in the air because I knew I wanted to make an impact, but I wasn't sure exactly how. And we started with help in the community that was very basic and fundamental, although very important. But we wanted to really target the issues at the core with the limited resources and everything that we want to disperse equitably. So we talked to a lot of teachers and educators, and we talked to a lot of leaders in our community organization. Like I know, for example, a lot of teachers in our local school districts, like obviously coming from Dublin, a lot from Dublin and outskirts of that. We also talked to some people over at COSI, and then we kind of saw three main issues coming up in the field that we were aiming to target of informal education. And this was pretty much the same, standardized throughout all the responses that we saw. The number one thing that they found of informal education program is that they're one of the most impactful forces to inspire and to show students what they can do in a field and like really test their abilities out, because everyday formal learning is very critical, but it's the informal learning that helps students imagine themselves in the field where they can make an impact. But one issue that I saw come up was the lack of sustainability, because a lot of the programmers, especially those common schools, I saw a big issue being with trust and one-time experiences, because as I like to say, one-time experiences are great to inspire, but we need to implement something sustainable to ensure that inspiration is consistent with time. The second thing I found was an issue with knowledge transfer. Is a lot of informal programs, they wanted to see a tangible knowledge transfer in a way that complements the formal education really well. And knowledge transfer, as in they're able to partake in something that's very engaging, but take away meaningful ideas and concepts from it. And the third thing is the industry connection, because now it's very important to establish an industry connection and teach the kids, not only kids, just students in general, about the different career fields, where can they see themselves. It's really important for them to realize their skill set and match that with the place where they can use their skill set the best and develop themselves as more. And that's what we try to do with STEM escape rooms, is we wanted to reflect all these changes. And we looked a lot into escape rooms and saw that escape rooms are very unique, because if you've ever gone through an escape room before, you are pretty much working through a series of puzzles that is unguided, undirected within a theme to unlock the reward or escape within a certain period of time. And everybody, if you've done an escape room, you know, as soon as you come out of the escape room, you're talking to people, oh, I did this, I did that. It's the art of working together in a freeform manner that for somehow just, you just remember everything. And we saw research, real research data, and we're like, wow, this is producing so many cool effects. How much cooler would it be if it was in a STEM and education environment? So with that, we combined these things together and we made STEM escape rooms where students within a theme work through a series of science experiments of knowledge they know without any guidance, without anything, and they have more materials than they need. So they have to work together, do cool things like make oxygen, learn how light works, understand rocket fuel engineering. And you wouldn't believe, like, kids 6 years old, like, that just know basic properties of how, like, yeast and other compounds work, they're able to do all these cool things. And that's some of the things with, we see retention, we see a lot more engagement, and we make those industry connections within it that we are aiming to quantify soon with some of the work we're doing on our own. And for anybody even listening, now is the best time, in my opinion, than ever to innovate in the field of education. Now is the best time to think about how we can change our field of education because of all the new development happening. You know, one development that I really want to highlight that's all over news coverage right now is like the AI boom that's happening right now. The AI boom's happening and it's changing the way how we think of education. There was a study that was done by the Public Library of Science, the digital health version, where an AI model was able to solve one of the most complex exams physicians have to take, which is the USMLE, and with a 60% accuracy without any prior training. So if it's able to go through complex exams like that, then we really need to think of how we are changing today to ensure growth for tomorrow. And that really resounds with how it's happened in the past, because the Institute of Educational Sciences sent a survey to about 1,300 schools in 2019, which was before pre-COVID era, and asked about how technologies changed their education. And a third of the schools said that it provided students with greater independence and self-directed autonomy for their learning. And that's what we're truly reflecting in STEMscapes.
Are you ready to join the movement to revolutionize education? Stay tuned for the full unveiling of my forthcoming book, Hacking School, 5 Strategies to Link Learning to Life, where we'll dive deeper into these topics and unlock key strategies to educational transformation. If you want to stay in the know, sign up for notifications at pastfoundation.org/hackingschool.
And you are absolutely right. When we think about sort of what's going on in the world of education and the opportunity that we have, there is so much space within what's going on right now where we can be incredibly innovative and transformative just by changing up the way we engage with kids and using, you know, rapidly evolving technology, you know, the rate and pace that AI is going through. And even though people think it just arrived, it's been with us for decades in one form or another. We just didn't understand that it's, you know, running the back end of lots of things until it really became more publicly accessible. But the reality is that it's this tool that has been impacting our daily lives for a really long time. Right? But now it's visible to us in ways it's never been before. And that visibility provides us with kind of intriguing opportunities. So we can do stuff with that. And we should be doing stuff with that, right? You know, and one of the things that I tell folks all the time is, if AI can pass that test at 60% accuracy with no training whatsoever, then does that to some extent mean that there's 60% of what we used to be teaching that we don't need to be bothering with anymore? And we should really be focusing on the other part, right? That I can't just tap into technology to answer for me. It shifts the entire way we might approach thinking about really, what should education be doing in the modern age? What should it be doing for us? What are those experiences that are going to be pivotal for us as young people to be able to grow into fully formed adults who are then contributing back into society? It's a very different landscape and scenario than it was 150 years ago, even in terms of the conversation that we have about transformative education. So I think it's really interesting in terms of the way that you are thinking about that in your organization. So I want to talk a little bit about the organization itself. Lucky, because you're a young guy, and yet you've really done a great job of growing this entity. So it's a full-time operating organization, correct? It's not just a part-time thing?
Right.
So where do all of these folks come from? What are their backgrounds? What are you looking for when you think about the best folks to create and craft these experiences for kids?
I think to this day, especially when you're starting out with organization, one that's focused in STEM, or we'll just say any industry, is to find the people that see your vision, that dream your vision. It's the people that are very passionate about what you're doing and they support it, because obviously technical experience and knowledge is very important for a lot of components, but the people that will truly make it grow are the people that are as passionate about it as you are, and they're thinking about it as much as you are. And so a lot of these people that when I started initially, yes, it was a very difficult curve to explain my vision and to explain the issues in STEM education, but it was a very small team that I started out with. It was my COO, Sneha Prabhu, and my CLO, Kavya Jayanti. And there was like these two people that I just knew from growing up together in the same environments that were as passionate about education as me. And they kind of helped and put in the work in the beginning that really allowed us to accelerate and grow our team to now more than 21 people working on this on a daily basis.
That's fabulous. Let's talk a little bit, if we could, about some of the actual sort of activities that the students participate in through, you know, Youth for STEM Equity, because STEMscape is one thing, but the organization does more than just that, correct? And so I want to talk about the way you interact with schools, because you're doing a lot of really interesting, very specific, dedicated work in schools, in traditional settings, even though a lot of what you're talking about is taking the power of informal education experiences and putting them back into more traditional sort of settings or expectations. So talk with us a little bit about how you're thinking about that.
We are very, like you said, informal education focused. We want to have those opportunities where students can grow alongside their teachers. So one of the ways that our escape rooms implements increased retention and sustainability more than the one-time experience is within after-school programs and in-school classrooms. We have STEM escape rooms that we work closely with the teachers. So based on the teachers, what they have already taught the students, we have a personalized curriculum that we design and a unique escape room for that class's needs. And then after we implement it and the students take away from it, we're not done there. We provide teachers with a lot of important learning and development modules that teaches them how to gamify their learning and how to integrate the escape room model, as we like to call it, within their everyday classroom. And that's something that has really allowed us to achieve the sustainability, because they're called educators because they educate, they guide students, and targeting them in scenarios like this is the thing that's going to make it sustainable. And alongside that, you know, as you said, we've done other niche things within schools. We've really taken a height on the personalizability of our programs and trying to work closely with students, because obviously we're optimizing the idea and we're continuing to make it as perfect to meet the students' needs. So we're working with educators on a daily basis and doing events outside of that that allow us to talk about our mission more, allow us to demonstrate what we're doing, and have events for experiences for students that really set in the inspiration that they can continue to do so through our programs.
Can you share with us an example of a specific teacher that you've worked with who's then taken the initial STEM escape experience that you brought to their classroom and then is incorporating it more into their sort of daily practice? Can you give us, you know, an example of how you've seen that working?
So for a school that we worked with in Cleveland, it's called Denison School, actually, and we did an escape room for them called Mission to Mars, which is really cool, where the whole theme was the students were aiming to escape from Mars as they were stuck there, and they had to make fuel for the rocket, make oxygen to breathe, and they had to make a light source to work on their rocket at night. And we kind of did the escape room with all of their 6th and 7th graders, and it was a very meaningful experience. We saw a lot of kids who initially came into the escape room thinking, oh, it's an experiment, we don't want to do it, leaving, like, there were the ones that were the most eager and wanted to solve the puzzle, just wanted the answer so bad that they're working with others and trying to escape. And so after we did that, we worked with a teacher that was in the science department from the both grade levels, and we provided her modules through which they were able to understand how an escape room and gamification works. And through that relationship, they were able to have ideas for new escape rooms that they could do for their class. Like, for example, if they wanted to do an escape room based on one of the key components is agriculture and climate. So they wanted to do one in terms of the eco space and environmental climate change. And so they gave us their ideas and what the students already know. And then we really streamlined the process for them. Well, we help set it up on their idea. Or if this is something they wanted to try for themselves, then we give them the materials and allow them to implement this in their own classroom. So it's kind of, they're using this effective form of informal education to supplement their formal learning that produces inspiration and growth with retention over time and then knowledge transfer.
That's a really awesome example. And you just love it when teachers get so jazzed about a thing, right? And they figure out really, really quickly, I want to do more of this, right? And I can sometimes do it on my own, but sometimes I need to continue to partner. Sometimes I need to partner with even, you know, a different entity or business or industry that's close to us to sort of help us with that sort of content knowledge, if you will, or expertise. So I really love that some of the durable skills that your program has shared with an individual educator is giving them the ability to really continue to run with the programming, even of their own creation. So that's pretty awesome, actually. So what's next, Lucky? When you think about the potential of your organization and the impact that you're already having, the impact that you can have, what are some of the next things that you're thinking about? Or what is it that you, Lucky, in this role, that you are thinking about as sort of like that next sort of important thing that we should collectively even be tackling? It's not a particular thing that you're working on.
I think every educator should really think about how they foresee learning in the future, because some of the one thing you really talked about that I 100% agree with is how is education changing? What does it mean for us to know? Like, what does it mean for us to learn something and implement it to grow, like, as individuals and as society? And I think, like you said, with so much development happening, it's really important to just reflect on what does it mean to know something and how can we translate this into something that's very personalizable and effective for students? Because, like you said, there's students every day that don't have the same education access. There's students that have very much a big, large skill set for STEM that are the next innovators, the next Nobel laureates, the next award winners who don't have access or don't feel connected to STEM because they don't have the instance of inspiration that's sustainable and they don't see it within their future career fields. And I think that's something we need to think of as society and as educators too, because as humans, we're not short of any talent. We just have to think about how we're funneling the talent into the right places and catering to everyone's, like, skill set. I think that's our goal as YSC, our goal is to revolutionize how informal education is being done in classrooms around the world. And that's a vision that we'll stick to and everybody should also think about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really love that statement, Lucky, you know, because you're right. There is no shortage of talent. That is not the issue at all. We've got tremendous amount of human potential. It's just that we're not capitalizing or catalyzing that collective set of human potential that is available to us. We can solve climate change. We can solve world economies. We have the ability. We're just not tapping into the right pipelines to make it possible. And sometimes I think we're also our own worst enemy as humans, right? But you know, that's the nature of the beast. You know, one of the things that I always like to make sure of as we sort of wrap up a conversation is to recognize that our listeners are coming to us from all over the world. Not all of them will be able to tap into STEMscapes. Many of them will go to the website, reach out, you know, and you can definitely bring this program onto your own community. But other folks are not going to be able to do that for a variety of reasons. And so I always recognize that folks are listening to the conversations that we are fortunate to be having with each other and saying, gosh, you know, I love that, but I'd like to do it on a small scale and I want to do it just right here. And so when you think about those educators that are out there, formal or informal, who would like to give something like this that you've been talking about a try, but they're hesitant, what would you suggest to get folks to sort of move in that direction? How would you encourage an educator to give something like this a try?
One of the things that we do, we as a Youth for STEM Equity, we're fully nonprofit and we are very mission focused. So the escape rooms that we provide to our Title I school and to schools with literacy rates below certain averages, we do it for them completely for free. We don't charge anything because we really want to make sure this effective piece of informal education tool that we've developed is going to people who need it the most. And like you highlighted, there's a lot that may be hesitant or not local and want to implement something like this. And I think the number one thing to realize is it is always make a change. You know, and with education, if you're making changes, one of the beauties about education is the feedback. If something's working or not, you're going to know it right away. And especially if you're an educator, you know your students and you're an educator because you have that personal connection with the people you're teaching. And that feedback that you're going to receive is going to be so valuable. And you will never regret making a change. You will always regret having the potential but not trying. So whether it be to going out and learning about escape room models or learning about how it works, or if escape rooms is not up your alley, which it doesn't have to be everybody's alley, just learning what works for you and for your students at the end of the day. So definitely encourage everyone to take the step and implement.
You know, what I love about your comment was the idea about learn, right? Because one of the things that I bump up against all the time is folks who don't take the time to get to know their kids or the community in which the kids come from, right? Because just making those personal connections, adults to kids, are incredibly powerful. And I'm sure that you've seen that. You probably have benefited from that in your own personal educational journey. And so I appreciate very much you saying learn, right? As adults, we can be lifelong learners, even if we're the experts in the room. There's so much for us to collectively learn about and from each other. So thank you very much for that. I also want to thank you, Lucky, for taking time out of your day. I know you're incredibly busy and innovative in the work that you're doing. And so I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to share your story with our listeners. And, you know, just thank you for the work that you're doing, because it's really, really important. And we need more people like you out there in the world doing this work.
Yeah, thank you for allowing, like as I said in the beginning, before we started, for giving this outlet. I think the work we're doing, the way we'll succeed is through the information people receive and establishing an outlet like this for people to understand, and facilitating that learning connection that we're just talking about is very critical to making sure the services we provide go to the right people.
Absolutely. Again, thank you so much for everything that you do to all you and all of your staff. So we appreciate it very much. And it was wonderful to meet you. Thanks, Lucky.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for joining us for Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I want to thank my guests and encourage you all to be part of the conversation. Meet me on social media at Annalise Corbin, and join me next time as we stand up,
step back, and lean in to reimagine education.